Let's continue. Parabrisak Ecclesias, everyone, to maintain a degree of decorum. Not 100%, but at least a respectable degree of decorum. We're now continuing to learn the laws of the 9 days. Everything else I'm learning comes exclusively from this Sefer of Simcha Bunim Kohn, the laws of the 3 weeks, and Tisha B'Av and other fasts. It's a fantastic, fantastic Sefer. The footnotes are extensive. He has incredible insight and quotes. Remember, Moshe Feinstein, Rav Kamenetsky, all the Gedolei Hadar, and the research is second to none. Yes?
I got an email from Chabad. They have now a live stream of a seal every day.
Every day.
A live stream.
A live stream of a seam every day to eat meat. In order to eat meat. What time? I also want to join.
5:15 is the first one.
5:15. Okay, so.
They have like a couple each day.
We mentioned this.
In the restaurants in Manhattan, you have a couple.
Okay, we mentioned this yesterday that by Hasidim, they're very into this because Ava, Va'achva, Vareos, it creates camaraderie. It's something which is very good, so they do this. I can tell you that by the Litvisha Olam, the Misnagdim, they don't hold from this. They don't hold from this approach to make siyumim. They don't hold from this. That's all. I told you we discussed this. Yesh v'yesh. We discussed at length the different reasons why we don't eat meat. It's totally in because of a zecher for the korbanos, or is it because of simcha? And also take into consideration that we're very weak in this generation, and the idea of ava v'achla reus. So this is a very controversial topic. We're going to move on. Next topic. The next topic is, are you allowed Erev Shabbos to taste the food, the meat from the dish, that the dishes that you prepare? Okay, you may not be aware, this is more of a Hasidic Sheminuk, that some people when they prepare food on Friday, when they prepare the dishes,
it's a Gemara, huh?
Okay, again, I ask you again, please. Please try to maintain a respectable degree of decorum. If you have a question, by all means, but to talk amongst yourself, it's really not to me, it's to everyone else here in the room. There are some people here who come to learn. They give up from other activities that they can do, so please have respect for each other. Now, let's talk about Toya. There's a custom to eat, the custom of Erev Shabbos, when you prepare the food for Shabbos, to taste from the food. So some people will just laugh at this and say that this is just nothing than just, you know, you're a chef. You have to taste the food. You have to taste the food. You have to know it's too salty. It's not too salty. Okay, it's one thing you're preparing for yourself. You have 2-3 people at home. But let's say, you're preparing for guests. You're preparing for, you have some very distinguished guests coming. You don't want to be embarrassed. You want the food to be top-notch. You don't want to ruin your reputation as being a gourmet chef. So you want it to be good. So are you allowed to taste the meat in order to determine the fleishik of food? Not only meat, we learned yesterday that you're also not allowed to taste the dish. It is our custom that has fleishik ingredients that is also forbidden. So are you allowed to do this Erev Shabbos? So it's a very tough question. Now, first of all, let's take a step back. There is an opinion that says, let's say for argument's sake, you got your recipe down pat to a science, and you don't need to taste it. I make the cholent, I make whatever you make, I know exactly how it's going to come out, there's no need for me to taste it. Is there still a mitzvah, Erev Shabbos, when I prepare to taste it? Just for the sake of tasting it, to get a tam of what's coming for Shabbos. So believe it or not, this is a very big machlekes apaiskim. There's a pasuk that says, Toyameha chayim zochu, those that tasted merit life. From this Chazal learn, okay, we say this in Shabbos Musaf, right before you eat the cholent. But the question over here is, some learn from this pasuk that there's mamish in mitzvah, a smachta, a kabbalah, a tradition, to taste the food Erev Shabbos. As a way of kavod Shabbos, it's the honor of Shabbos, not just to determine if the dish is proper. Even if you know the dish is proper, already to get an appetite for the coming Shabbos. Toyamecha chayim zochu. You go to your pots, you take a little soup, a little kugel, a little this, a little that. Erev Shabbos, in order to get into the spirit of Shabbos, it's a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. So this is a machlekes apoiskim. Some say it's a practical measure, just practical, just make sure the food is okay. And some say, no, taka, this is the inyan of Shabbos. So here is the deal, and this is the theme which we discuss, which comes out in this Sefer over and over again. What do you do the whole year? The whole year, you are from that group of people that relish the coming of Shabbos, and you taste the dish, you makayim the mitzvah, toyamecha chayim zochu, Erev Shabbos, then you're allowed to do it. You're allowed to do it Shabbos Chazoin. It's the 9 days. It's Friday. And I'm going to have a little meat. I'm going to have a little cholent, a shtickle mashuk of cholent, and little fleshiks. It's okay. Because anything that's begeder mitzvah is mutter during the 9 days. But if you're a person that never does this, and all of a sudden you happen to find yourself Erev Shabbos somewhere, oh, I might as well take advantage of a situation. Over here I'm having it's a long Friday, Shabbos Chazoin, it's a long Friday, so let me be toying from the Shabbos cooking. Oh, toyanecha chayim zachu. Osir. It's not, Shabbos Chazoin is not the day when you start doing new minhagim, new chumras, new halachas. So that basically what it all boils down to. Some hold that it's even if you hold that it's a mitzvah, it's not mamish a mitzvah, so it's better not to swallow, better just to taste, just to lick it, not to make a bracha. Or you should at least wait until after Chatzos, closer to Shabbos. These are the issues.
No problem. What happens on not Yom Kippur? Tisha B'Av in the afternoon.
You're not allowed to taste. You're not allowed. Who told you allowed to taste?
Cook and spit it out?
No, you're not allowed to. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Who told you that? No such thing. No such thing to go taste the food on a tainus. It's also to be toying a kihuze of the food on a tainus. Unless a person is a choyla. Nothing to talk about. Should you make a bracha? If you just put it in your mouth, so you know it, so it depends. If you swallow, you make a bracha. If you don't swallow, then you don't necessarily need to make a bracha. Again, so that's the issue. That's what it all revolves around. Okay, let's go to the next topic. The next topic is, okay, with children. Okay, this is the grandchildren. Let's say this is just this. Maybe you have grandchildren and you're gonna put them to sleep. You're gonna put them to sleep before Shabbos begins. Okay, little children. Then it's a Shabbos Chazon's the summer, so Shabbos first begins 7 to 9 o'clock, depending on early Shabbos, late Shabbos, and you put the kids to sleep already 6 o'clock, 7 o'clock. So they're not staying over the Shabbos meal. What are you gonna feed them? You're gonna feed them. I'm making milchiks for them. I'm going to feed them. Let me feed them. I'm cooking for Shabbos, so let me feed them the Shabbos food. Mutter. You don't have to go be machan. When it comes to children, you put to sleep that age. Even though during the week, we discussed yesterday that it's not so simple to give children meat during the week. Depends on their age. And we also discussed the concept of agmas nefesh, that even though a child may technically be permitted to eat meat, it's not necessarily proper for the adult to feed him meat, because we want the adult to have pain that I can't feed my children meat. Of course, we discussed yesterday, we're not dealing with any health issues. There's a health issue, a diet issue. Forget it. We're talking about where it makes absolutely no difference. There's an issue, there's a topic of discussion if it's proper for an adult to feed a child who anyway doesn't know the difference because agmas nefesh. That rule is lifted when it comes to Erev Shabbos after Chatzos. If you're putting your children to sleep, and they're not going to be awake for the Shabbos meal, you don't have to go cook for them special milchik of food. You can cook your Shabbos food and you can feed your kids at 5 o'clock. Milchiks! And the rule of agmas nefesh is suspended. Okay, a late Shabbos, we discussed yesterday that you're eating shalashuris. And shalashuris is serving fleshiks. And the Rebbe is going late into the night. He's darshening and darshening and darshening. So you're allowed to continue eating fleshiks late into Mitzvah Shabbos, as long as Shabbos has not ended for you. And like us before, we said before yesterday, is that if you make an early Shabbos, you can eat fleishiks early. You can eat fleishiks an hour and 15 minutes before sunset plag mincha, because you will makabel Shabbos, and you can eat meat as long as Shabbos is not over. Now some say, some say that you only can do this, interesting chumrah, if you look at the chumras, is only if you're in shul. But if you're at home, and you're eating your own private shalashuris, and you're not going to go to shul mitzvah Shabbos, I'll daven ma'arich before I go to sleep. I'm going to be ma'arich and sue the shalashuris. That way I can eat my fleishiks late into the mitzvah Shabbos. So something you can't do that. If you're in shul, then you can do as long as you want. But if you're an individual at home, it's not proper. Mm-hmm. Tzibur, already, if your tzibur, the community who you associate with, already has ended Shabbos, you as an individual have no right to be marich in Shabbos in order to eat meat. That's an abuse of the system, and that is not permitted. So we learned yesterday also Malava Malka, 95% of the Paiskim hold it is osur to eat fleishiks for Malava Malka. He brings one opinion. Who? Let's see if I could find it. He brings one opinion of Sichbun Mukom that once some say that Malava Malka, every Mitzvah Shabbos, you have Malava Malka, you have fleishiks. Here we go. Hagoyin of Moshe Feinstein Tzatzal ruled that during the 9 days, meat and wine are prohibited at Su'udas Malava Malka, even for one who always eats meat at this Su'uda. The whole year round, you have fleishiks from Malava Malka, doesn't matter. Shabbos, Mitzvah Shabbos, Chazon, it's Osir. Note 64. He tells you the chapter and verse of Igros Moshe. The Ayin, the Piskei Teshuvas. Okay, that's that new Mishnah, the Mishnah Berurah. The Mishnah Berurah Piskei Teshuvas. Sifkon Lamedal Shehevi Sheyesh. The Svirlei doesn't say who the Yesh is. Okay, he brings out. I didn't look it up. There, I'm sure there's a source in the Piskei Teshuvas. Very good sefer. The Mutar Lachol Basa B'mi Shenoyin Kain B'chol Shavu. He brings one minority opinion that allows you to eat fleishiks Motzoi Shabbos. If you eat fleishiks every single Motzoi Shabbos for your Malava Malka. Malav Malka is a very big inyan. He's supposed to light candles, he's supposed to wash and sit down, eat basar, say all the zmirois. People who do this are going to be zeichet to very great things, it says, when the Mashiach comes. It's not something to take lightly. We only have a general rule. General rule, do something at least once in your life. Put on Rabbeinu Tzfilin at least once, Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam told him, once in your life, eat a proper Malava Malka. I'm not talking about going to an event, go to a dinner. Do it in your home. Do it the ideal way. Forget about, you know, you're Arab, Malava Malka, there's a bigger dinner in your shul, and you're stealing around the corner, make Malava Malka on a fundraising event. No. Once in your life, it's a regular Arab Mitzvah Shabbos. There's nothing good on television anyway. So, you know all the news. Sit down once in your life. You should come to the Olam HaEmes with this schus. Once in my life, I sat down with my wife at the dining room table. We lit candles. We baked fresh, no leftovers, fresh food was prepared. We washed and we ate a su'udas malava malka l'shem shamayim. My wife, myself, maybe my children around the table. L'shem shamayim. It's not a fundraising event. With freshly cooked food, with candles lit, the way it's supposed to be done. At least once in your life, you should do this. So you come to Olam HaEmes, you have a schus. I know what Malava Malk, some people, Rachman and something, go their whole life, never had once proper Malava Malk. Some people, Rachman and never had proper Shal Shudas their whole life. They go their whole life. They never, when was the last time you had a real dignified Bakovidika Shalash Shudas L'shem Shabbos L'shem Shemayim Rachman al-Litzlan? There are people who, even Choshuva people, their whole life passes them by, never ever. Malava Malka, certainly never ever. Tikun Chatzos, once in your life, okay, in a Chanami Litvax, I agree with you, fine, but at least once in your life. It's not a joke. It's really not a joke. You know, you're here in this world, for something, so even though we don't do it, but at least once, you should do it. Tikun Chatzos. Take out a sitter, and you see that there's Tikun Rachel, Tikun Leah. Once in your life, sit down. How hard? Sit down at 1 o'clock at night, or 12 o'clock, depending on the year. You sit down on the floor, and you open up the sitter, and you just read the words. Read the words. It's only a few pages. It's not such a big deal. You read the words, and you mekayim once in your life the inyan of tikun chatzos. Yom Kippur katan. Okay, some people, they'll run the other way. If they hear there's a minyan for mincha erev Rosh Chodesh Yom Kippur katan, they'll go to another city. I wouldn't be caught dead in the shul where they have Yom Kippur katan. I know people like that. They'll mamash, even me, even unfortunately, I sometimes have that attitude. Okay, you'll run to the other end of the world not to be caught dead. Oh no, the davening, Yom Kippur katan.
Could be an hour.
Whatever, depends what it is. At least once in your life, you should have the experience of what it means, Yom Kippur katan. These are not Chassidish minhagim. This is all in Shulchan Aruch. Okay, this is all in Shulchan Aruch. It's not a Chassidish thing. This is the real deal. So this is something interesting, just going off on a tangent, these interesting ideas about Malala Malka.
Yes, kind of shovel player.
Tainus Shoyva. Tainus is already really different. Tainus is Tainus Shoyva. Okay, they say Slichas, whatever. All right. Let's now go to the next topic. So you're allowed to buy meat. Okay, this we learned this in the Aruch HaShulchan. Aruch HaShulchan is great. You know, when I learned this, so you don't appreciate, we learn Aruch HaShulchan, we just read. I don't really appreciate it. When you learn the English stuff and you learn the footnotes, you see how much is quoted from the Aruch HaShulchan and all the Yesoidas are there. You really appreciate the Aruch HaShulchan so much more when you learn a book like this, even though this is the research and the footnotes, what he quotes, I mean, I don't know, he dug up all these things. He went through everything there is, everything there possibly is, to present over here.
What
he
did that to Gavriel?
No, he quotes in the Gavriel also. He quotes in the Gavriel, and he brings down things as well. But he puts it down. I mean, I think this is practical for us, because the young said he has the same background that most of us have. Nede Gavriel is a Hasidish Sefer. And Nede Gavriel is also, it's a big mishmash. It's everyone, and there's no. It's wonderful, but there's no.
He doesn't bring halacha. He brings stadim.
No, he brings halacha. He brings stadim. It's very well done.
He never passed.
It's very, very well done. It's fantastic. You know, it's Chabad. He's still Chabad. Netan Gavriel.
The rule is,
you know, they advise all the shaluchim are supposed to have a full set of nitig avriel wherever they go in a Chabad house.
No, every shliach has to take along, at least that's the way it was, shor mitzvah and balacha.
Yeah, but also nitig avriel. You go to any Chabad house, go to any Chabad shul, you will find a whole set of nitig avriel, guaranteed. His Chabad, and they advise, they tell the shluchim you have because they have everything. Okay, in any event, this safe has very big advantages because most of us have basically the same background that he has. We grew up the same way he grew up. An American kid here with you know, following the Gedolim of Moshe, Rav Kamenetsky, his grandfather is Avigdor Miller. He has a very similar background to the vast majority of us, and therefore what he says, it resonates with all of us because he's coming from the same place. It's not a Hasidish minhagim, and he tries very hard to be makel. You see, he struggles very hard to be makel on the top, and where he can't, but he's not looking to make you crazy. So I enjoy his Sfarim. He wrote, they have him in the back room of the Sfarim. This is really old. He probably since then he put already a new Sfar. Rav Simcha Bunim Kohn. So it's very, very good. Okay, next topic. We learned Aruch HaShulchan, buying meat. Are you allowed to go into Glatmart, Moshe's, Pomegranate, wherever you like to shop? What?
ShopRite.
And buy kosher meat during the 9 days.
Online.
What?
Online.
Wine also. Are you allowed to do this during the 9 days? The answer is yes. Oh, but it's Marisayan. The only issue of buying meat during the 9 days, you're not going to eat. You're going to put away. You're putting it away for the next week. You're putting it away for Shabbos. Okay, no, but maybe, who says? Maybe someone's going to suspect that you want to eat meat at night. You're not going. It's not for Shabbos.
No.
All right. So the answer is. You know, it used to be really not so simple. Meikar Adin, it's not so simple because the issue. There's only one issue. Marisayan. There is no issue of. There is no halacha of buying. You can buy according to the letter of the law. You can buy all the meat and wine you want during the 9 days. There is no prohibition. Simcha is only eating basar v'yayin. Not like clothing. It's not like buying appliances. There you're not even allowed to buy. Here the issue is buying meat and wine. There's no prohibition whatsoever. The only issue is marisayin. So in the olden days, Aruch HaShulchan, all the Kamam Aruch HaZal, there was a real marisayin issue because people, they consumed it immediately. Today, that's not the case. Today, everyone buys way in advance for Shabbos. People have children in the house. So there's kemat, no maris ayin issue in modern times. Memelo, there is no issue. The Pesachim said that b'zman hazeh, even though it's mashm l'chazal, that it would be aser, b'zman hazeh, it's mutl l'chatchil to buy meat and wine during the 9 days. No one's going to suspect when you're on the counter, when you're on checkout, you're not going to ruin your shidduchim when someone sees you buying meat in the 9 days. Yeah. Unless you're buying takeout.
My opinion.
Right? Takeout. I don't know. Maybe that's more of a problem.
My opinion.
Yeah.
The 9 days is one of the reasons is because we're seeing the skin and this, right?
Yeah.
And there's no Achdus. So what is the biggest public demonstration of the anti-Achdus? Marisayim. If you see someone doing something, you're saying, oh, look what he's doing in Avera. So the problem over here is you're punishing the guy who's doing something because the other one's doing the Avera. The guy who's looking at it can't say, maybe he has a good reason.
Marisayim is a natural condition
right,
of a human being.
We should be working on the opposite side to be Dalekavskos more than usual.
I hear what you're saying, but obviously that's Marisayim is a natural condition of a human being. You see something, you think. That's how it is. You have to work on yourself. But don't put a person, it's not proper to put a person in that situation where they will naturally suspect you. V'hiyisem, the Torah says this. V'hiyisem nikiyim mehashem umiyisrael. The Torah doesn't say to the people, don't suspect him. The Torah addresses you. You don't set someone up to make that mistake.
Fine.
Okay. Let's go further. Right on time. Let's go further.
If someone is sick, and you have some people who are very attuned to public image,
yeah,
will not go buy food for a sick person because someone will see them and say, you're buying me.
What?
If someone has someone sick or taking it to an older person, right?
Yeah.
You won't go to Gladbach.
So that's what it says here, that Bizman Hazeh. In our modern day and age, if Chazal said it, it was a different situation.
If I was living 200 years ago and I saw someone go ahead and buy a piece of meat, I would go over and say, who's sick? Who should I say, Mishabeah? Instead of going ahead and saying, oh, look at this
change, okay. I hear what you're saying. I don't know the answer.
I'm not saying that.
I don't know the answer. Obviously, it all depends on the situation. Today, there's very little Marisayim. Today, everyone, you're buying meat, you're buying it for Shabbos. You're buying it for after Tisha B'Av. Okay, let's ask her up, please. Get me a little out of here. Yeah. You're buying, everyone is very, very the small, you have choylem, you have children. It's just, that's how it is. There's not much of an issue. Next.
You're coming out of ShopRite.
Yeah.
Are they assuming you're buying kosher food or not? Someone looks and says, Marisayim, you went to ShopRite.
No one suspects. If you're coming out of ShopRite and you're a firm person and your neighbor, I can't imagine it's even the slightest havamina that they suspect you're buying non-kosher. Yeah. We know that's ridiculous. Marisayim is when there's a real possibility that maybe people when you go into ShopRite, a frum Jew goes into ShopRite over here, and I don't think anyone in the wildest dreams is suspecting that you're buying non-kosher food. That's not something you have to take into consideration. What?
Right. You have to go glider. You go to McDonald's to use the restroom.
Even going to McDonald's today. Let me ask you. Listen. If I go to McDonald's over here on Avenue J, or wherever your local McDonald's is now, and Didmus, they're over here. It's a little bit of a problem, no? Right? Where next to Torah Das, there's a McDonald's, right? So I don't think a yeshiva bacha going into McDonald's is the right thing because what are you buying there? Oh, I went there to buy a can of soda. Oh, you couldn't buy a can of soda in the other 25 stores around the neighborhood?
Didn't we learn something the other day? When you're not allowed to think you shouldn't walk into a McDonald's.
Exactly.
We just learned it the other day.
Now, let me ask you. I go to Boston, okay? I go to Boston every so often, okay? And there are McDonald's all over the place. Do I even hesitate not to go to McDonald's? I go there all the time. I even know which one that I like. I know which one I like. I know the good ones, the clean ones. And when I go in there, everyone, all the front people are there. Why? There's no other game in town. Right? There's no other game in town. If you're going to stop to go to the bathroom to take a break for 5 minutes from driving, where are you going to go? Where are you going to go? There's nowhere else to go but McDonald's. There's nowhere else to go. And it's not even McDonald's anymore. Now they have, there's so many stores, like a mall. It's McDonald's. It became... On the highway, all the highways, the whole country, at least the whole Northeast. I don't know every kind of whole country, but the whole Northeast, they dominate. They have a monopoly. The only real rest stop where you can sit down somewhere, you can go to a clean bathroom, and you can buy some soda or buy some basic kosher things with a heksher on it.
Always from people.
What? Always. Bili yoytze min haklal. Always. On 18th Avenue. So does that mean the McDonald's, like I can also go out to the McDonald's on 18th Avenue? Over here on Didymus, 18th Avenue, and Didymus over here on Coney Island Avenue? Yeah, I don't think it's a good idea to go into that McDonald's. I just saw Libby Oimer Lee, it's not a good idea. But to go to the McDonald's on the interstate highway, it's Lachar, it's Mutal Lechatchila. I mean, who's going to be choishing you? You're going to the bathroom, you're going to buy a cup of something to eat, whatever that. There's a lot of kosher products in these places. Obviously, it all depends on the situation. Okay, let's go further. Let's talk about the prohibition at the time to purchasing things during the 9 days. Are you allowed to purchase clothing? There is a prohibition. Now, it doesn't say this. Very fascinating. It doesn't say anywhere. No, it says in Shulchan Aruch. You're not allowed. Wait. 1 second. 66. What does this say? Purchasing clothing prohibited during the 9 days. Ramah. Because the cave and the eco is simcha. Okay, you're not allowed. It's in the Ramah. It's not a gemara. That's the problem. You asked me this question. We'll talk about it in a moment. It's not anywhere in Shulchan Aruch. They said to purchase clothing. It's quoted in the Ramah. The Ramah says you're not allowed to purchase new clothing. Now this includes everything. Okay, this includes even to purchase undergarments. That when it comes to bathing, when it comes to, well, we'll see this later on soon, when it comes to washing, when it comes to wearing freshly laundered garments. So that's the whole topic I want to do today, but that's the whole topic. There are opinions that hold that you're allowed to wear freshly laundered underwear, undershirts, socks, things that are used for the zeya ba'alma, to absorb sweat, or just, you know, for just hygiene. The only thing that you're not allowed to wear freshly laundered is a shirt and a pants, a jacket, things like that. But undergarments, machloikis apoiskin. Rav Moshe, by the way, there is conflicting testimony as to Rav Moshe's opinion was with regard to undergarments. He cites here very legitimate sources that say that Rav Moshe told them the Farish, it's also. It's also to put on during the 9 days a freshly laundered set of undergarments. And he told other people that it's mutal lechatchila. And the nafkamina is, do you have to prepare in advance? Just like we prepare in advance before the 9 days, you put on a shirt and a pair of pants for a few moments, so it should not be freshly laundered, not for a few minutes. Some say that's for half an hour, we'll get it later on. So too, do you have to prepare in advance undergarments in advance before the 9 days? So obviously, lechatchila, yes, but for many people, it's just too much of a hassle to do. So there's many issues that are makel that you don't. Rav Moshe told some people you don't freshly. Now, even though you don't have to prepare in advance freshly laundered undergarments out of the washing machine, the dryer. You put it in the washing machine, you put it in the dryer, that's called freshly laundered.
It was last week?
2 weeks ago.
No, that's freshly laundered. As long as it's been cleaned and has not been worn one time. That's called freshly laundered. Do you have to put it on for a couple of minutes in advance? We have machlekes apoiskim. Lechatchila, yes. B'diavad, no. The vast majority of people don't do it. They just don't have the frame of mind to do this. It's just... Yeah, yeah. Do that. You'd be surprised. There are B'nai Torah who do that. People who take the halacha... People who take halacha very seriously, they do this. They do this. I'm sorry to tell you, they do this. The vast majority of us do not do this. Now, here's the question. Very important question. So you can make a very simple argument. If I can go and I can wear freshly laundered undergarments on the 9 days, I can buy them as well. I can go online, Prime, next day, I can go buy new underwear, new undershirts. And after tomorrow, brand new underwear and undershirts. What's the difference between something that's freshly laundered and something that is brand new? So Enochinami, it's also, it's not the same. Buying new, even undergarments, is a higher degree of severity. Machomer. Now here's the question. Now here's the very USME question yesterday. Very interesting question. What happens during the 9 days is a stira in this book. Mamar Ashlamash, I'll show you a fair stira. Are you ready for this question? What happens if during the 9 days you run out of underwear? Okay, I'm a very religious person. I wore all my underwear for 3 hours. Okay, there's a sheet that says, in order that it should not be freshly laundered, by the way, how long do you have to wait? So some people, they wear mamash for 3 minutes. They don't have patience more than 3 minutes. They put on a shirt, right? Before the 9 days. I'm not going to tell you what I did. Don't ask what I did, okay? Before the 9 days, you put on a shirt.
12 shirts.
For how long? You can do that. You can wear many layers if you want. If you want, you can do it. How long do you have to wear it for? So some people, they wore it for 3 minutes or 5 minutes. They go out of their mind. He tries very hard to find Mekilin, but he can't. He says the shortest shear he found was a half an hour. It ranges from the place came from a half an hour to 3 hours. Wow. How long you have to wear a freshly laundered garment?
Put on tzitzis, how long it has to be on you?
Tzitzis? A moment, a second. To make a bracha?
So if Rav Scheinberg...
We're not going there now. Let's go down.
30 pairs of underwear, take them off.
You can do that. You can wear. All the Paiskim say you can wear many layers. You can put on 10 shirts at a time. You can put on 10 undershirts at a time. 10 underwear at a time. You can do it. It works. Now, here's the Shaila. Our boy said, please, here's the Shaila. The Shaila is, I ran out. I was very good. I prepared in advance, but I ran out. What am I supposed to do now? So the Paiskim say, if you really run out and you have nothing else to wear, you're allowed, believe it or not, you're allowed to wash your clothing. Especially if it's not a Shavua Shechal Boy. Okay, the week leading up to Shavua Shechal Bo.
You run out like the day before or so.
All right, then, okay, fine. But Shavua Shechal Bo is a very, very big problem. Only if you're extremely desperate, extremely, no other solution, then you can do it. But the degree of severity is relaxed for the week before Tisha B'Av, the 9 days, this week, from Rosh Chodesh until Shabbos. If you really run out, you could even wash out your shirt and pants. You can b'diav, you can do it as well. The Ikar Chomer is Shvua Shechalbo, so you can be Mekel. Certainly you can be Mekel when it comes to undergarments. Question. If anyway I ran out and I'm allowed to wash out my undergarments, could I already go on Amazon and buy next day delivery? Even today they can deliver sometimes. New. What's better? Yeah. Is it better to buy new undergarments? Or buying a shirt and pants, that's already a little bit of a stretch. Don't do that. Don't buy new that. But what about buying new undergarments, or should I wash it out? What is better? So you'll be shocked to know there's a steer here in this book. He writes over here first. He writes over here in the name of where is this? Don't tell me I lost this. I think from Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky, the Emes Liakov. I have it over here. Here it is. Specific Emes Liakov, Simon Tovkuf Nazar Rav Yaakov Kamenetsky. Emes Liakov, Siyas Simaya Shachs Chuvas, Simon Tovkuf Nemalov. No, it's a Drush, so maybe it's not him. I don't know. It's Simonim. This is Shachs Chuvas. Maybe I don't know. He brings from this sefer Emes Liakov that it's better to buy new undergarments than to wash out. Why? Especially for children, why? Now, it says, because it doesn't say in the Gemara anywhere the prohibition to buy. The Gemara talks about the prohibition to wash. To wash. So the Shulchan Aruch is Moisef. The Shulchan Aruch says not to buy. This is a Chumrah from the Ramah. It's an extension of the concept. We accept upon ourselves not to purchase. It's logical. It's simcha. It's something new. You don't make a shechiyana on the garments. So on a shirt and pants, and it's not okay because you make a shechiyana. That's much more severe. That's much more severe. In Shulchan Aruch, in the Gemara, it talks about freshly laundered. You take a garment, you clean it. To clean it, to do a maitza kivisa is a serious prohibition. The Gemara doesn't talk about buying. It talks about making a shechiyana. We talk about this, I don't know what the Gemara, shechiyanu. But buying is, since it's not mentioned, so he quotes the Sefer, Memela, if you have to, one of the two, because you have no choice, shocking thing. Better buy undergarments than wash out, because buying, it doesn't say anywhere, you're not allowed to buy.
Yeah,
but washing is in the Gemara. Washing, you do the Maisa.
Today, all you sent out from Belsky, if someone has a kid going to camp and he does not have underwear, what to do? She said that since today, all you have to do is just push the button on the machine. You're better off just pushing the button on the washing machine. But he notes that you should not put in more underwear that you should have for next week.
That's partially. He was a little,
so when you buy,
yeah,
you bind a 3-pack, a 6-pack, you're going to have enough underwear. You bind underwear.
Yeah, but you can't buy a smaller quantity.
You can't buy less. You buy the minimum. So fine. Now, on the other hand, later on, in the same book, when he talks about this, he says, Mamash, just the opposite. So I don't know how to answer the stira. He quotes over here, Mamash, somewhere just the opposite. If you don't have enough, you have a question of buying verse, he says you should wash. Washing, look what he says over here, washing children's soiled clothing is preferable to buying new ones. When it comes to children who soil their garments, note number 125, Ken Pasak HaGoyin Rabbi Yisrael Zev Gustman Zatzal Huva B'Koyveitz Tsoihar. When it comes to children's clothing, not adults, children's clothing, he says, you have a choice of buying new or washing, better wash. Maybe the difference is, I'm assuming the difference is here you're dealing with buying a new garment, not the undergarments. No, it doesn't make a difference. He quotes Rav Scheinberg. Okay, sorry, but he quotes over here. Rav Scheinberg was an American.
Also was an American.
In Israel, all right. They don't get new clothing, they get handouts.
Right, so I just want to point out over here, he managed to use a steer. Managed a steer here in the book. Between two different parts, you want to start super analyzing different cases, but basically over here, it's a very interesting child. What do you do when you have a situation where you have no choice? You're in a tough situation where you have a heter to wash the clothing. Once we have a heter to wash the clothing, maybe I should buy new clothing. What's worse? What is the lesser of the evils? So when it comes to children, he says the lesser of the evils is to wash. When it comes to adults, the lesser of the evils is to buy. At least undergarments you should buy. Alright, what else? We're just to finish up this halacha. Are you allowed to repair a garment? So Rav Moshe says, as long as you're not like eating new material, you're just repairing a rip, you're allowed to. If you have a garment, a pair of pants, a shirt that's been ripped, needs the tailoring to repair, let's say the hem gets loose. The hem gets loose, the bottom falls out. Mutter, that's not called new. That's not called tailoring. Tailoring means when you take raw material and you make a garment. You have a garment and there's something went wrong, the hem came out, this came out, the button fell off, and you just want to repair it to restore it to what it was before, that is not in the category of tailoring, and it is mutter to do during the 9 days, especially when you have nothing else to wear. Alright, there's more, we'll do Mishra more tomorrow. We'll stop here, take a short break, and then we'll talk about some Inyan Agada about Tisha B'Av.